Hello and welcome to the Plugged In Golf Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Saturnus. This is one of my favorite episodes of the year. It is my best of 2023 podcast with Matt Meeker, where we're going to go through category by category and just give you some of the best products of the year from the over 250 reviews that we wrote. So without any further ado, I will get into that as soon as we let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by ShotScope. Now, we say it all the time, but if you want to get better at golf, you want to really improve your game, you really need to be shot tracking, and ShotScope gives you more options for that than anyone else. If you don't want to have dedicated hardware, the Kinects that they just offered is very affordable and just works with your phone, or you can go all the way up to the X5, their premium watch, which uses the same connectors, but will also give you a GPS right on your wrist so you don't need to have your phone out at all during the round. Regardless of which option you choose, you can find reviews on PluggedInGolf.com, and you can go to ShotScope.com to purchase any of them. We're now joined by Matt Meeker for our annual Best of the Year podcast. Matt, thank you for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Good to bring the year to a close, and we look forward to the upcoming 2024.
Yeah. So literally 10 minutes before we started recording this, the USGA officially announced their golf ball rollback distance limiting thing that we've been talking about for ages. So you've read the USGA actual statement. Just 2 second gut reaction, and then we'll move on to better things.
Yeah, I think like most things, when they happen, it's going to be a blow up of reactions and overreactions. I think in the long run, we'll all still get to play the same golf balls. Us amateurs will see a slight effect, maybe a 5 yards with a driver, and the pros will get into that 10, and then I'm sure it'll creep up to 15, and they'll do something again in 10 or 20 years. But I don't think overall it's going to make a big change to the average golfer.
Yeah. My big thing is I'm just curious how the tour and the OEMs are going to react. Because I think there's it's a non-zero possibility that the tour says, nah, we're good. We're not interested in these rules. Those rules are fine for the U.S. Open. Those rules are fine for the British Open. But we're going to keep playing by the rules we've had forever. I do think this change is probably small enough and far enough out that I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, I just think that would be super interesting. And I'm somebody who often roots for chaos. So I think that could be fun. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit most of the reader questions we got first, because we love our readers. And then we're going to do our category by category best of the year. There is one reader question we're going to save for the end, just because it makes sense that way. And you'll see as you listen why we're doing that. But let's start with this. We were asked, how much more can golf clubs improve, and what is the next breakthrough?
And I'll tell you, Matt, I pondered that sitting on the couch for minutes that turned into hours, it seemed like. There's always, every year we think they just can't do anything better. And every year, everybody does something a little bit better. Yeah. It's always just that incremental enough where you can't quite see a limit to it. And I just feel like we're just going to keep innovating.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. As far as what's the next breakthrough, if you think I knew what that was and I'm going to share it on a public podcast, you're high. I'm not that clever, but I do think they're going to keep improving, just because, you know, 5 years ago, however old PXG is, right? Nobody saw hollow body irons coming with the filling supporting the thin face. And then they did that. Now everybody's doing that. And now we take it for granted. But I think there's no reason to believe that people won't come up with the next thing, and that we won't just keep inching along. Obviously, they're limited by the rules and the aforementioned USGA, but other than that, I think they're going to keep making things a little bit better at a time.
And not just people, computing power is going exponentially higher than anybody can fathom. And I think there's just going to be something where some AI bot is figuring out all of a sudden a new material that's going to just blow us away.
Yeah, great point. Great point. What gear are you most looking forward to next year?
It's so hard to know. I've seen a few teaser picks from the new drivers coming out. Again, USGA conformance meeting criteria. But that new tailor-made, I think it's QI-10, or I don't know if it's going to have a fancy name to that, but QI-10 is intriguing because you see Tiger playing it, you saw Rory playing it, it looks different, different colors. So it's my natural instinct playing a tailor-made driver right now is that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing we've seen the most of is new drivers. We've seen the Cobra new driver. We've seen, I think, a picture of a PXG driver here or there. So, I would say, based on what I've seen, because we don't get as much early access as people think we do. You may all think that we know everything's going to happen in 2024. We don't. So I would say, yeah, TaylorMade driver, PXG driver, and then the Ping Blueprint irons. They have two new Blueprint irons that have been getting teased for a while that I'm excited to hit.
So. And something that I haven't seen anything or heard anything about, but I realized going through what we've done this year, is my favorite golf shoes, the Code Chaos from Adidas, or Code Chaos 22s. So I'm hopeful 24 might bring around a new version, a new name, new something from Adidas on the shoe front.
I like that. Off the beaten path there. I like that one. What was the biggest equipment tech miss of 2023?
I could not come up with one example. I looked through everybody's reviews, thought back through the year, what I've read, seen on the internet, whatever.
Yeah.
And all the ones you see examples of from the past years ago, I felt like we didn't have any like that this year.
The only thing that came to mind, I did the same thing. I looked through every one of the 250 some reviews we wrote this year when I do this. The only thing I would say that was kind of a miss for me is the Aerojet driver from Cobra. And I want to be real clear about this. That's relative to expectations.
Yes.
Because I feel like this time last year, I was hearing a lot of buzz about, oh yeah, the new Cobra, it's going to be this Cobra plus this Cobra, and it's going to be this amazing thing. And I feel like it was fine. It was good, but I don't think it sold really well. I don't think it had a lot of heat behind it. So to me, if you're making me pick a miss, that would be right. The one. But
and actually, I kind of got into that same thing of high expectations. Then I heard our friends at Club Champion saying it really doesn't seem that much better than the year before. Like, no reason to move to it. But then I read Drew's review where the Aerojet, some low spin version, was like his favorite of the year. So it's relative to what your expectations are and if you've hit it before. So it's one of those, like you said, fine tune. The biggest miss is not really like some things we've seen in the past, like a tailor-made putter that I said I would never game even if I had to putt with my driver. So
yeah.
Mention these.
Yeah. Yeah. Last reader question for now. How innovative was 2023 versus other years?
For me, I thought there was a couple innovations. I thought the whole paradigm family seemed innovative of how they put the clubs together. Mm-hmm. Everything about them got a lot of buzz and a lot of beyond the hype. People were playing it. Fitters were putting people in it like crazy.
Yeah.
So that club wise, that was a big one. I felt like personal launch monitors got to that category of, boy, they just more and more in a reasonable price. And golf, all of golf is reasonable. And we understand nothing's cheap in golf, but
reasonably
priced golf monitors. And then just, again, technology wise, how much you can fit on your wrist with all these different golf watches that have GPS and 1,000 other features.
Yeah.
So those are kind of three that I came up with.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd echo that. I'd say comparing it to other years, you'd really have to go back and dig and figure out what was offered at different times. And I'm going to be honest, I wasn't going to do that. I would say it was a good year versus other years. You know, we saw the clubs continue to get a little bit better. We had a couple headliners like Paradigm, like Stealth 2, where they're doing something that is different than other makers. And as you mentioned, some of the other categories saw really big leaps forward. So yeah, I would say it was a good year. But to say definitively, you know, it was 20% more innovative.
I rank them compared to any other year.
Yeah. So great questions. Thank you to everybody who wrote into us on Instagram. Let's go ahead and start jumping into categories. And I will let you start these off. Driver, the big headliner, what were your best drivers of the year? And if you want to throw any caveats about how you think about this or what makes your list versus not, you know, feel free.
Yeah, and like we were saying before, with Drew's choice of a driver, he and I are two different players. Mm-hmm. And I think I bring the more moderate swing speed that changes some of the choices that work for me. I ended up playing, and I played basically all year, the new Stealth 2 driver mm-hmm. from TaylorMade that just fit me the best. But close behind was the standard Paradigm. The Titleist TSR2 was a great fit. So I felt like there was a lot of choice. I didn't get to hit any of the PXG drivers, but I can just tell from what I read and hear and see people playing that's another solid choice.
I would say also, like, I'm going to kind of cap out on the driver category. I think the Ping G430 stuff was great. The Stealth 2 stuff was great. The Paradigm stuff was great. Personally, I put the PXG Gen 6 in the bag. It worked out amazingly well for me. If you're listening to this, you've probably read my reviews, but the reason it went into the bag over the Ping was the ability to really fine tune the weight. And that, I will totally acknowledge, is more mental than anything else for me. But I really like that. But any of those drivers, I could have very happily played. I think they were all excellent. And I saw, as you did, a lot of people playing all those different clubs, a lot of people talking positively about all those different clubs. So to just think it was, I feel like we say this every year, it was just a great year for drivers. Like, the drivers yes. just continue to sing. So let's switch to a category that I actually feel very differently about. If you don't want me, you know, you don't like all that everybody gets an award thing, you're going to like what I say about the next two categories. Fairway woods. What did you like in fairway woods this year?
Well, as I've been discussing in several reviews and I've told you about, Matt, is fairway woods and I go beyond the not getting along. Mm-hmm. My swing speed and trajectory and things and swing itself, I've been struggling with more the standard model. Mm-hmm. That said, a smart Titleist fitter put me in a 7-wood of their TSR2, and it's still a fairway wood. It's not mm-hmm. might not meet everybody's definition of the 3 or 4 that people want to put in their bag. But that, to me, that was the one that worked for me. And I worked with Club Champion. We tried every fairway wood in the 3, 4, even 5 models. Mm-hmm. And just nothing fit a gap that I needed filled.
Yeah. What we determined. Okay. So good. So we got just one product there. I would say for me, going back through all the reviews that I wrote, the one that stood out was the Stealth 2 Plus. That big, big sliding weight was really effective at changing launch, changing spin. It really was like multiple clubs in one. So that was a super cool club to me. That was far and away my favorite fairway wood of the year that I hit. And then the other one, and I don't know, this is kind of a cross category one, the burner or BRNR. People got super mad when I said that, calling it the BRNR, the mini driver, played really well. They're adding adjustable weights to it, made it more versatile. And then just the look of it with the head cover, that retro look, it just hit me right in the heart. It was perfect. I thought it was awesome. So those were the two fairway woods that stood out for me this year. Let's keep moving. Hybrids.
Well, that's a perfect segue, because one of them on my list was the Callaway Super Hybrid.
Okay.
Which falls into that mini driver.
Yeah.
It was totally geared to hit off a tee and find the middle of the fairway with more accuracy. Was still a bunch of power, but that fit exactly what they were saying, and it fits a niche that a lot of people could use in their bags. That was the hybrid. And then again, through a fitting with Titleist, I got my Titleist previous hybrids revised to a TSR2. I think it's a 5 hybrid. Mm-hmm. And that thing just has been performing great for the past several months.
Nice. This is one category where I just basically picked the one that worked best for me. I kind of, throughout this, you're going to see I bounce back and forth a little bit. There are some categories where I'm just kind of saying, here's the one that I like the best. There are some where I'm just acknowledging, here are different clubs that are really good, whether they fit me or not. There were a lot of good hybrids this year. I didn't want to list 10 of them, so I picked the one that ended up in my bag, which is the PXG Gen 6. Again, the weighting adjustability I think is really great. And they've been making some of the best hybrids in golf for 6-7 years. And a lot of people have missed out on that, but their hybrids continue to just be really, really good. And I've enjoyed having that one in the bag. What about irons? Cause you changed everything this year, right?
I did. Complete change across the board. Every club in my bag got changed at some point in the year.
Yeah. So what irons went in and what else did you like?
Yeah. So what went in was the Cobra King Tour. Mm-hmm. And I just love thinking back through that. Seeing Tour on the iron was a scary proposition. Mm-hmm. But as I went through testing, fittings at the Club Champion, a shaft that was better for me, everything was like, it's quite playable. It's that distance, players distance kind of category that kind of has developed into a niche that a lot of people like. It's got just the looks people prefer. So that's what ended up in my bag. I tested Paradigm irons, which were explosive, great, mm-hmm. across the board. The one that really was noteworthy, but probably will not end up in my bag, is the Titleist T350. Mm-hmm. On looks alone. They made to make it look like the rest of the line and make it so much more approachable was just a real highlight.
Yeah. I'll build on that. I reviewed the Titleist T100, the 150, and the 200. All of those could make my list. I love what they did with that line, the way they're doing combo sets, making that a focus.
Right.
Their approach to fitting, I just think, is outstanding. So anybody who's looking for new irons, I think, ought to go look at Titleist. On the opposite end of the spectrum, and this falls into that more just like acknowledging stuff that I think is really good, even if it's not for me, the Ping G430, it's been a little while since I've hit a G iron, and the forgiveness in that thing is just insane. I remember hitting shots in my garage. You know, it's March, my swing is trash, it's winter, right? And I'm just hitting it off every part of the face but the middle, and the launch monitors would just like, nope, good shot, good shot, good shot, good shot. Just crazy. Two that I want to point out for value, I think the Adams Idea. Adams came back this year. Their Idea irons are not elite by any metric. They're not going to be very top of the pyramid, but they're like half or less in terms of price compared to everything else.
Right.
So that's got to get mentioned, in my opinion, because as we talked about, golf's super expensive. Costs are only going up for clubs. So I want to throw that out there, let people know that Adam's stuff is very solid. And then kind of moving up a rung, the Tour Edge Exotics C and E irons, just very, very solid. They are borderline elite in some categories in certain ways. And again, several hundred dollars less for an iron set than you will see from other makers. And now, as I continue to hand out awards to everybody, my last two that I want to mention in that category, back to things, I'm sorry, nope, just one more. The iron that I ended up putting in my bag, it's been many years since I've changed irons, but the PXG 0317T is just an amazing product because they took that hollow body iron tech and geared it toward the better player. They put it in a very compact iron. They got the forgiveness way up, and it was basically too good for me to say, no, I'm not going to play this. If you've heard us talk before, you and I did a podcast about this, about when we change stuff. And my line is, you can't dance with the champ, right? I've had those blueprints. I loved them. And a lot of clubs were like, they're pretty good. They're right there. But like, they're not like clearly just knockout better.
Right.
The PXGs on a launch monitor, when you put them side by side, it's undeniable. They're not that much bigger. They're still really fun to play for me. They feel good. And the numbers are indisputable. So that would be, for me personally, my number one iron of the year. I think we're going to have some overlap in this next category. I'll let you talk about it while I take a breath. Wedges.
Yep, we're going to be on the same page here. So I've been gaming before. I said I switched everything in my bag, but it stayed basically the same. Edison wedges, the 2.0 version. I love the first iteration. If that was the first, I don't know the full history, but the ones I gained for a couple of years, And this one's, it's just, they're just better. And I can't put my finger on one aspect just across the board. Flight, spin, feel, looks, it just, it's phenomenal. And I just encourage everybody I play with, always goes, picks up my wedge and goes, what is that? And mm-hmm. try explain to them. And they, I just encourage people, if you haven't tried it, give them a try. I think Edison's still doing a money back guarantee. I mean, yep. you just can't go wrong. If you're ever looking for a more playable wedge, and I know this sounds like a commercial, but it is, because it is. We, Matt and I can play any wedge we want across the board, and we're both playing the same thing, and that should tell people something.
Yeah. Yeah, just to confirm, you can go to Edison, you can spec out custom wedges, order them, they will send them to you, you can play them for, I don't know if it's 30 days or 90 days, you get a good amount of time. And right. if you don't like them, you can send them back, which is crazy. That's like, there's literally no risk. So, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I traded out my Edisons for Edison 2.0s. You know, you talk about just like everything is good and easy with them. The thing that always jumps out for me is when I don't play for a while, which happens a lot. You know, I'll lay the clubs up for 2-3 weeks, and I'll go out and I'll be like, oh man, my short game's going to stink. This is going to be hard, and I'll miss a green. And I go up and, nope, just chip it to 4 feet, right? Just hit a pitch shot to 10 feet, right? It just, they're just easy to play. They're really, really good.
And the other thing people need to hear is you don't have to try to figure out what grind you need.
Mm-hmm.
There's one model, and it's versatile. You can open it up, close it down, whatever you're trying to do, sand, grass, hard pan, it'll work for you, but you don't have to try to figure out what the current grind you might need on a big chart of expectations that nobody can understand from a lot of the OEMs. So that alone is a great thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, it's a thing I can see both sides of that argument. I'm not going to go crazy on one side or the other. Again, obviously I play the Edison, so I believe in that versatility. I like all the options that OEMs offer, but the thing that Terry says that makes a lot of sense to me, you know, when you look at a wedge or a grind where they say, okay, this is for people who play on hard turf. Terry's response is always, Terry Kaler is the person who created the Edison wedges for the listeners. He said, well, okay, you play on hard surfaces. That's fine. Do you never play when it rains? Like, like your conditions will change. Like, yes, predominantly you play on harder surfaces or soft surfaces, but you want some versatility. So I do see both sides of that one, but I really like the versatility of the Edison wedges. I like the simplicity. So, all right. We did enough there to get our sponsorship deal fulfilled. Let's move on to putters. What did you roll this year that you liked?
The most testing I did was the new TaylorMade Spider Tour line. They're just great. And I love the fact that there's enough models with enough different hosels and necks and toe hangs and looks that anybody should be able to find one that suits them. And performance wise, they're phenomenal. Just beautiful roll, great feel, very forgiving. Just a great, great lineup from TaylorMade on those.
Yeah. I'll point out two that I rolled more recently that I just think are great in terms of innovation and doing something different and offering more forgiveness. The Odyssey AI 1 or the AI 1 milled, they have the face has a backing, or in the milled, it's not the backing, but it's just the whole face. Is shaped in such a way that it makes the ball speed more consistent across the face, kind of like they do with driver faces. And that it's really effective. It works really, really well. And they're able to put forgiveness into traditional putter shapes, which I think is cool. I'm not somebody who wants to play a big spaceship, but I would like forgiveness. So that's cool. And then on a similar note, PXG's Battle Ready 2, they took that hollow body technology. They developed a new polymer. And they made those putters hollow inside. You never know it by the feel, but they were able to move more weight out to the perimeter because that hollow, it's not hollow technically, the polymer is very light that fills most of the putter. That pushes more weight to the periphery. So those are both really good. Now, in terms of golf balls, did you play anything new this year? Or were you, I know you don't typically do a lot of reviews. Yeah. I just point out the PXG golf ball, the PXG Extreme is outstanding. The thing I really like about PXG, and I know I'm back-to-back PXG products here. Sorry, I'm not sorry. But the thing I like, and I've written this a lot, is that they just share their data and they don't make ridiculous claims. So right. When they launched this golf ball, they said, look, we tested against Pro V1, Pro V1X. And they didn't show a graph that says, we get 10 more yards than the Pro V1. No, they said, look, we're right there. This is basically a compromise between the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X. There's only one ball, so it's very simple. Everybody's going to play the same ball. It's going to work really well. And they sell it for $39 a dozen, which is $15 cheaper than a Pro V now? Pro V 55?
Yeah, 20, getting close to 20.
Woof. Yeah. So, yeah, I just think it's really good. I've been playing it all year. We've been using it for our testing all year. It's a really good golf ball, and it's a solid name. It's not, you know, I like the direct-to-consumer thing. I think that's fine. But I know that a lot of people don't want to just go grab a dozen from a company they've never heard of. So, yeah, I'll leave that there. Let's move on to shafts. You talked about putting new shafts in your irons. What did you test this year that was good?
Yeah, there's so many great products. Iron-wise, I ended up with some VA composites. Mm-hmm. That, that's one of those brands. So many people look at my clubs and haven't heard of that brand because they're not too often available in any OEM, especially stock things, sometimes in a catalog, but a fitter like Club Champion that just carries a tremendous, unbelievable array of shafts to choose from. That was just a clear standout for me. And we always push fittings and good for a good reason, mm-hmm. because the shafts are what drives our clubs, no matter what the choice was. And that was one of those that with my driver head selection, it was Dyson hairs of what was close to each other, but shaft wise, the VA composites really jumped out. Yeah. And then driver wise on that subject, the Mitsubishi Vanquish was again, just one of those, as soon as I hit it, saw the numbers and had the feel I love. I mean, it was just as an easy choice.
That's a beautiful transition. That's professional right there. Cause Vanquish was the first thing on my list. And I think it's fun to see products where I swing a little faster than you. We kind of play a little different game. You play better than I do. I just hit it farther. but we both are impressed with the same product.
Yeah.
Because it's the most stable, lightweight shaft I've ever hit. I put it in the driver and I think it was like 2 miles an hour at club head speed, just instantly, no extra effort. So I just thought it was super impressive. Kudos to them for that. And then two putter shafts. I think putter shafts continue to, grow a little bit. They're not quite as hot as they were last year, but we're still seeing interesting stuff there. The Nippon NS Pro putter shaft, they have three different weights, which is pretty rare. You don't see those options, and that's really nice. You can get something really, really heavy if you want to build a total heavy putter. You can get something very traditional, but what sells it for me is the feel. It's just so clean. It has that really pure Nippon feel, like from their irons. And then the Breakthrough Stability 1, it's an all graphite shaft. In the past, they've done partial graphite, partial steel. This feels softer than anything else they've done, but it is still very, very stable. It has that what they've been known for is that stability in their shafts. It's, the namesake characteristic. And that's actually been in my gamer since I tested it. I really liked it. I just left it there because it's been really good. So I'm impressed with that one quite a bit. What about footwear or apparel? If you've got apparel, you're more of our apparel king than I am. So anything in those categories?
There was nothing I did a review on that I could find, but FootJoy, I just have to point out because we got some rain the other day here, and I pulled out a FootJoy rain jacket. I don't even remember the model number, but I walked the dog. The water's still beating up. It's a year old model and just phenomenal. And at the same time, our temperatures started dropping and I pulled out my thermo series from FootJoy, mm-hmm. which they have some pants. They've got a thermal undershirt, jackets, vests that I had the whole array of. And it's what I first reached for when the temperatures drop. And when I say drop, I'm talking 40s to 50 50s kind of my hopeful cutoff, but sometimes we dip in the 40s, and for Matt, that's probably an average day for many months. But for us, that's really cold. But my point being, I'm just amazed when I go to grab something for conditions that aren't just pure, perfect 70 degree sunny day. FootJoy is always what I'm grabbing, and I've got plenty of options in the closet, way too many, according to my wife. But as long as I can squeeze in one more, I have a hard time getting rid of them. But FootJoy just is the brand of choice for me.
Yeah, we did the Hydro Tour and Hydro Light rain jackets a couple months ago. Those were really good.
That was it.
Yeah. Anything shoe-wise?
I mentioned Adidas maybe before we started recording, as I start saying that. But they came out with a new MC80, which is kind of a retro vibe.
And a
ZG23, which is a spiked shoe. They just continue to come out with models that everyday players can play, and you see them on tour. And if a tour player is wearing shoes, you know they're good because they're out there hours upon hours every day. And they have choices just like we all do on things. And footwear is often a segment that they have a lot more freedom to wear what they want. And I'm always impressed when I see so many players wearing Adidas. Same as Puma. You just see a lot of people wearing the Pumas that aren't necessarily Puma-sponsored people. And that's always impressive to me.
Yeah.
And then Painter continues. I tested one more of their shoes. And you wouldn't think you could put technology into shoes like you do with clubs, but they just impress me every time with the way they balance out some padding in the heels or materials, flexibility, stability, just a great brand that people need to explore.
Yeah, that was the one that I listed too, was Painter. And for people trying to search that, it's PAYNTR.
Right.
Horrible name. Sorry. It is. But the shoes are amazing. I tried a new Painter this year because I wanted to get back to a traditional spike. And it delivered. The traction's outstanding. It's comfortable, mid-weight, not a super tall heel. So checks a lot of boxes for me. It's something a lot of people can wear and be happy with. So that's a good one. Let's do tech next. And I've got a bunch of stuff on tech. So I'm going to do a couple and then I'm going to take a breath and I'll let you jump in on a couple that you had. I'll start out with shot scope. As you hear almost every week, shot tracking is so important. If you really want to improve, you've got to learn about your game. And ShotScope dropped two new products this year that were great for that. The X5 is their premium watch. It's what I use virtually every time I play. And then the Kinects is super affordable. It's like $99. It works with your phone, so you don't need any kind of special hardware. Very easy to use. So between those two options, if you want to get better at golf, if you want to improve, you've got a shot track. And those are two really good ways to do it. I'll throw out two more before I kick it back to you, Matt. The Caddy Talk Cube, not necessarily my favorite rangefinder of the year, but it had a novel feature, which bears talking about, which is it lets you triangulate distance. So if you can, if you're saying you're playing cart path only, you can stand at the cart, shoot the target, shoot your ball, and it will tell you the distance from your ball to the target so you can walk out with the right club. And I thought that was really cool. Like anytime somebody brings a genuinely new feature to rangefinders, which is such a crowded category and frankly, boring category as a reviewer, there's just nothing new happening, it's got to get mentioned for me. So that is really cool. And then on a similar note, if you want to go to the very, very highest level of rangefinder, you want every bell and whistle, new things, just amazing tech. The Voice Caddy SL3 has a touchscreen GPS built into the back of it. It works really, really well. You cannot possibly have more information in your hand than this rangefinder with the GPS built in. At that point, I mean, short of hitting the shot for you, it can't do any more. So those are three things in the distance measurements, shot tracking, GPS category that I think are really worth looking at as far as best of the year.
Yeah, when I look back of 2023 through all those technology related things, I think you probably had done a huge majority of those reviews. So I didn't have really specific products, but other than saying category wise, as you said, rangefinders, if you can't find a rangefinder that you like, that has the features you want and a size that fits your hand or magnets, whatever it is, you're not looking. You got to open your eyes because there's just so many great choices and accurate choices. So I have to point that out. And like we said, the technology that can get on your wrist, those card path only days, when I really don't want to take my laser rangefinder, which I use 99% of the time, having tech on your wrist that you just walk out. I was playing recently and my playing partner has 5 clubs in his hands and it's like, what do you think the distance is? I said, I don't have to think. It's exactly 183 yards.
Yeah.
Just being able to have that rod on your wrist and not having to worry about carrying something and laying it in the fairway while you hit and forgetting it. It's just technology is a thing we can all use to get better and smarter, as Matt was saying.
Yeah. I'll come back to that tech category for launch monitors. I reviewed a fair number of launch monitors this year. And as we said in the opening, the amount that you're getting per dollar is just exploding. Yes, they're still expensive. We're not trying to say it's a $20 purchase. But when you realize that just a couple of years ago, it was either $20,000 for a TrackMan or a Foresight, or it was basically a toy. And now where we're at, it is night and day. So I want to highlight 3 products at 3 different prices that people should really check out. Again, if you want to improve, if you want to have a launch monitor, if you want to do simulation. Starting at the low end, the Swing Caddy SC4, I think if the retail is $500, but I think you can buy it for $450, maybe $440 if you go through our site and click the link. It's a reader discount. It is very accurate at what it measures, which is basically, you know, ball speed, club speed, launch, and it does spin. I want to say it does spin, and it's got an onboard display, which I love. I'm a big believer in onboard displays just because you will use it more because it's easier to use.
Right.
And it's the first one from them that powers simulation. So it's just kind of a knockout at that really affordable price. Going up one level, something I just reviewed recently, the Rapsodo MLM 2 Pro, mouthful of a name, but such a good product. Really accurate. There's a little bit of a hiccup in terms of the spin because you have to use a special golf ball. So it's really something you're only going to do inside. But the accuracy for $700 is insane. And the app is amazing. It's really fun. It works well. It's easy to put together. There's a lot of fun modes on there. So that is very, very high on my list. If you want something that will entertain you as well as help you get better, I don't think there's better value out there. And then the last one is the updated SkyTrack, the SkyTrack Plus. If you want that kind of pro grade accuracy, you've got the simulation, you've got a really strong app. It is more money. I want to say it's $2,000. It's in that neighborhood. Maybe a little bit more, and there is an annual fee if you want extra features on it, which is the same with Rapsodo, but unfortunately, that's kind of par for the course with a lot of these now. It's just built in. But those 3 devices, Swing Caddy SC4, Rapsodo MLM 2 Pro, SkyTrack Plus, you look at those 3 launch monitors, one of those probably fits your budget and fits what you need, what you want out of a launch monitor. I'm just really blown away by that category. If I had to pick one category for the year, that's it by far. We've just seen so much improvement, so much value. Really, really good. So we've come to the bags, miscellaneous, trainer, golf courses portion of the program here. And I know I just talked a lot. I'd like to take a break. What do you have that you can throw into this grab bag here?
Well, that's a good grab bag. It's good. And it was a category I didn't even write anything down because I didn't know going to be going there. But
that's all right. We can let out the pause if you want to think.
Because I did test several vessel bags. I have one on my golf cart now, Mm-hmm. And if I carry, I've got a vessel bag for carrying. And we've had, I liked what I had so much that I wanted other people to do it. And I think Matt, you've tested some. Mm-hmm. We had Zach test one, and they just make an awesome golf bag. Yes. I get so many compliments, whichever bag I'm using. Somebody wants to know what's that brand. And I'm shocked that they don't know it most of the time. But I feel like once you're aware of it, you can have a hard time going back to anything else. They got the full array from a lightweight walking bag to a full-size cart bag that can fit everything you own golf-wise, except for Matt or I. Probably we might exceed that one bag.
Yeah.
For the normal people, I mean, just they've got something for everyone. We say that a lot with some of these brands that they have products that fit a wide range of people and needs. But a big shout out to the Vessel.
Yeah, I'll pick up on that. I reviewed the Vessel Sunday 3. It replaced, I think, the Vessel Sunday 2.
Right.
Yeah, and that to me, that's really the mark of a company that's just crushing it year after year. Is
yeah.
Nope, this is going to stay here until they make a new one. Okay, this one's a little bit better. I'll swap it out.
Right.
The other bag that I have to shout out that I'm so excited about is the Cougar Sunday bag.
Yeah.
Those guys were on the pod. They were super fun. And it's if you enjoy listening to that half as much as I enjoyed recording it, I'll be thrilled because I just thought those guys were hilarious. My favorite part is what's that?
Go ahead. I was going to say that leads into something else interesting that I want you to answer when you're done, which is what were your favorite podcasts of the year?
Oh man, that's that one's high. I mean, this one's number one, of course, but
okay.
What made me laugh, what I always think about with those guys, is the bag is so perfect. They took everything that you would want in a Sunday bag and they just nailed it. There's literally nothing wrong with it. And so I said to him, how many times did you have to iterate? You know, because I assume you made one and you were like, oh, well, hold on, let's move this a little bit. Let's move this. So right. We did it again, right? And they said, no, it's pretty much the original design.
That's amazing.
It just cracked me up. But that if you want a Sunday bag, that thing is going to last for generations. The material it's made out of is something I've never seen before. It's from it's a sailing material. Just lights out. All right, I'm gonna go for a minute here because I got a few other things I want to shout out.
Yep.
The G-Tech hand warmer. Now, this is something Matt Meeker has no use for, but the little, like, you know, like the pouch you see quarterbacks put their hands in?
Yeah.
It's just like that, except it's got a powered heated element in it. If you like fall or winter golf and you live where it's cold, you have to buy this thing. It is so good. I use it for coaching softball because, like, fall ball gets kind of cold.
Yeah.
It is just a life upgrade. So forget about golf. Just go buy that because it's really awesome. Goat putter grips, something I did recently. Just really unique. They put the flat side toward the target. And then I got so many comments saying, I could just turn my grip sideways. No, like, please read the review. This guy really thought this through. There's a lot of smart stuff going on there. And I think the grip is super impressive. And if you are trying to change something in your putting, you want to refresh.
Yeah.
It is so worth checking out. It's, you know, a grip is $25 rather than buying a new putter. It's pretty cheap. The D-Wiz swing modifier was something we talked about, performance versus expectations. I took the review and I said, there's no way. This is trash, right? This is going to be silliness. And it's so good. The app is really amazing. They've got an on-course mode now. It's just really, really good. It's expensive. But if you're a swing junkie and you really want to get there and, like, dial in your swing and you want to see numbers, you like seeing the visualizations, that's super worth it. Put it on your Christmas list. And then the Aremo e-bike. We did a couple e-bikes this year because those are becoming more popular options on golf courses, and hopefully they continue to be more popular. But that was really good, very affordable. You can use it on the course, of course, but also in your regular life. I end up using it for groceries and errands and stuff. Just something I had a lot of fun with. Couple more. Moving into the training category, the DP Golf putter ramp cuts the price of a putter ramp down by like half or a third. I mean, it's way cheaper than what used to be out there, and it's just a really good tool to have. Go read that review, please, if you have not, and if you're not sure why you would want a ramp. If you want to practice your putting, it's like non-negotiable. You've got to have a ramp. The Mach 3 speed training stuff I like a lot because it's very different than all of the copycat super speed systems. Both are good. Super speed's good. Ripstick's good. Mach 3 is good. But I want to shout out Mach 3 for doing something different. The putter PUTTR smart training green. Very, very fun. It turns your indoor putting green into an arcade with an app, and it's really gamified. And it's really fun. My kids really loved it. That was what sold it for me. As I was using it, I enjoyed it, but then they picked it up and they're not really golfers. And that just told me, oh, this really is fun. It has a lot of crossover appeal.
Right.
And then the G-Force swing trainers, as far as something that helped me personally this year, that 7-iron was awesome. It's like a super whippy shaft, forces you to really take all the hit out of your swing. It's really good. Highly recommend that. And then finally, as I gasp for air, the one new course I reviewed this year was the Lido at Sand Valley, and I cannot recommend that highly enough. Please go read the review. Check out the history of that. This is a course that was built on Long Island and was destroyed by the U.S. Navy during World War II for training, not like accidentally. Like, they did it on purpose. They bought the land and tore it down. But they took historical documents and basically recreated this course at Sand Valley in Wisconsin, and it's really neat, really fun course. I got to play there with Dylan. So that wraps up my best of the year. Going to the last reader question here, I'm going to kick this back to you. What was the single best golf item you reviewed this year? And I'll preview this, but I'll let you do this two ways. I'm going to say a best and a favorite. So if you want to do both, you can, or if you just want to go best, that's fine too.
Gotcha. Yeah, I only had one. And like we've been saying here for several of these segments, I put a caveat on my choice because I'm not a big tech guy. Like I said, I use the laser rangefinder so much of the time, but I really found the Garmin S70 watch just, as I wrote in my review and thinking back, it just gave me so many wow moments of as I learned all the technology that it has, and I'm still learning. It's one of those that you're blown away, you know, outside the golf course and what it can do. You tie it in with your phone with a Garmin app, and suddenly your watch is showing you which direction the wind is blowing, and what speed.
Yeah.
Then you get up towards the green, all the distance you want to do, you can point to a spot and it'll tell you how far that is to that bunker or whatever you want to choose. But you get up on the green and now it's got green view. Now it's showing you all the slopes and contours of the green right there on your watch, not pulling out a book or getting out your phone to try to see some apps. And then the other thing I like, which is a simple thing, it comes in two sizes. So instead of something that always just looked too big on my wrist, which made me not want to wear a golf watch while I was playing, sure, they have a smaller version that just makes it much more comfortable and not get in the way during my swing. So again, that's not necessarily a product that's better or worse than some of the other ones Matt mentioned. It just happened to be one that, being a non-tech guy, that I got immersion on from the Garmin folks and got to test with them several times and learn these things that I probably would never even venture off and try to learn about on my own, that just kind of blew me away and made it the single best item of 2023 for me.
Yeah, I like it. So I said I'm going to do a favorite and a best. Favorite in terms of, for my game, what made the biggest impact for me was the PXG 0317T irons. Like I said, for me, getting something that would force me to change out those irons was a really big deal. That will genuinely impact the way that I play golf. I'm really excited about playing those more in 2024. The best item, and I hope I'm not just stuck on recency bias, but I am really, really blown away by this. The Rapsodo MLM2 Pro. I think for $700, it is just so good. If you want to get better at golf, if you want something to do high accuracy, get your numbers, you know, all that stuff, you can do that. If you want to just play simulated golf, you can do that. It's got some training mode. It's got a combine mode. Great. It powers third-party stuff. If you don't like their app and you want to use E6 or this app called Awesome Golf, which is kind of like arcadey, cartoonish, gamey, cool. It's got that too. It can power all those things. And the biggest thing with it is it's easy to use. I can't stress that enough.
Right.
After testing all these different launch monitors, when you spend all that money, whether that's $400, $600, $10,000, you want something that you're going to use. If it is a hassle to get it hooked up where it doesn't want to talk to your phone, it doesn't want to connect to your tablet, you're not going to use it. And right. I know this firsthand because I have all these toys at home and a lot of them don't get used, or I don't even want to test them because they're such a headache. This thing just connects fast. The app works great. It's really accurate. Is it perfect? No, because again, you have to use the special balls to get spin. But you know what? Use it without spin. Like, that's fine. We're not all like trying to dial in perfect optimized driver combos all the time. We're just hitting balls in our garage to have a good time. And even without the spin, it's pretty accurate. It does a really nice job. So that's my best product of the year. I give it, you know, 2 thumbs up, A+. If you're looking for a launch monitor that's going to give you some fun during the winter, it is really, really good. And as far as things that I enjoy that give me fun, I just appreciate you being on this podcast with me, Matt, because this is always what Absolutely. I look forward to.
That's always fun to look back through the year because so much of our testing starts so early. I mean, 2024 products are coming out real soon, and I know you're probably getting itchy like I am to see what everybody has to offer, and to look back at what we've done. As you said, hundreds of reviews. The whole team has done a great job of covering everything, and we love that our readership and viewership, listening-ship keeps going up, so it's fun.
Yeah, yep. Thanks again for coming on the show with me. Thank you all for listening. I hope you all have a happy, healthy 2024. I hope you shoot personal bests, make some hole-in-ones, and thank you again for listening.